you know, that's normal. You just keep doing it, You get better. So in the beginning, it was hard. I didn't know exactly what I was doing or who I was talking to or what I should be talking about.
Welcome to The Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. All right, I am so excited to have Jonathan Rivera on the show today. He is the king of podcasting, and he runs The Podcast Factory along with his podcast, Daddy's Working. We talk a lot about profit-first podcasting here. That's something that Jonathan Rivera teaches his podcasting clients. So if you're interested in how you can make a profit with your podcast and how you can drive your podcast success with that profit, then this is the episode for you. And if you haven't already, check out the show notes at ipodcastedit.com. to see summary of the episode, some great quotes, and more about Jonathan. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, Jonathan. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I am really looking forward to this.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Hopefully, I can we can have some fun, answer some questions, and light off some light bulbs.
I think that's exactly what we're going to be doing. So I like to start off with the same question for everybody. What was your biggest fear when it comes to podcasting? And did that fear end up being validated? Did it ever come true?
Let's see. How many biggest fears can I fit in here? yeah, I don't know. There's all kinds of things. In fact, I was just thinking about that right before we got on. I was writing an email, and some of the things that are common among people is, will I have anything to say? Will it be interesting? Will people listen? Will people tune in? How will I make money? And so I've had all those fears as well. But the biggest one is just making a fool of myself by just getting out there and saying things that maybe I shouldn't. And yeah, of course I've done that.
I know a lot of people, when I talk to them about if they're going to start a podcast or not, they seem a little bit iffy on whether or not they know what they're going to talk about or whether or not they have anything to say. Did that come true for you, or when you started, did the words start flowing, did things work out?
Yeah, I don't know. It's ugly. I mean, it's ugly to, I can still listen to some, actually, I think my first ever podcast is still on the air because I did it on one of these internet radio type, setups. So it's still out there somewhere, and I've gone back to listen to it, and it was pretty horrible, but you know, that's normal. You just keep doing it, you get better. So in the beginning, it was hard. I didn't know exactly what I was doing or who I was talking to or what I should be talking about, but luckily back then I was doing it live, and so I got feedback from the audience and figured out what worked and just kept on practicing my craft since, dude, it was like 2008 I think I recorded my first podcast, so we're talking 11 years now.
Wow. Yeah, so you're pretty much the expert, I mean, at this point.
I don't know. I'm still learning. That's what I'll tell you. I know some things, but I'm still learning quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, continuously learning. You never stop. So for those, you said that you recorded live, but of course, a lot of people don't record live like that. They get that feedback through reviews, through social media engagement, things like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, the main lesson to learn there is to be listening for feedback and be able to pivot. And so that's what we've made a habit of always doing, is listening to the people around us, figuring out what's working, what's not working, what's connecting, doing more of the stuff that works and eliminating the things that do not work.
Yeah. So let's transition to how your podcast has related to your business. How is it that I know that you are big on podcasting and business. I checked out your website for the Podcast Factory, and a lot of it has to do with kind of being a leader in your industry, right? Through podcasts. Is that kind of what your business is about?
Yeah, well, the thing that podcasting is super good for is having an audience that sticks with you for a while. And there's a report, I think it's called the Share Beer Report by Edison Research, and they say the average podcast listener listens around 5+ hours a week. Oh, and so those are some dedicated people. Mm-hmm. Those are some people that, and also in the same report, Edison Research report, is that they're college educated. They're likely to make $100,000 or more. So podcast listeners could be awesome clients for a lot of businesses. And that's who I work with, is the businesses that are involved with high level players. So people who want to get better, whether it's in business or their personal life, or they want to do better, they want to be better, they want to be remembered. And so that's who we serve, and that's who we're for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I know that's one big thing a lot of people say, is that the podcast, why do I need to start a podcast? It won't make me any money. And that may be true for the podcast specifically, but overall, do you agree that the podcast will help bring in more revenue, more sales, more clients? Because that's the big thing. Everybody always puts their podcast on the back burner. They don't think it's important. Oh yeah, you know, I'd like to start a podcast, but then it never happens. Mostly because it costs money up front and it may not make money right away, but it can definitely make money, right?
That's something where I might have a little bit of a contrarian view, because okay, a lot of people out there will talk about starting your podcast and getting thought leadership and being a leader. And yeah, we talk about some of those things too, but I don't want to launch a podcast unless I know how to profit from it. And so that's actually something that we're working on right now. Me and Greg Smith from the Rise Above podcast, one of my clients and friends, mm-hmm, a lot of people were asking him, dude, you started a podcast. How did you do it? I'm so interested. And can you help me? And so we're working together on this thing that we're calling profit first podcasting. And I believe that you need to know how you're going to profit first before you start your podcast. Not that you're going to do good in the world and that you're going to have a halo and that people are going to listen to you and idolize you. Forget that. How do you profit? And that's the first thing you need to be thinking about as you plan your podcast. That's the nucleus of it. And then you build out the layers that you need. Are you going to profit by your thought leadership? Well, how do you do that? By meeting other thought leaders and doing business with them, by being invited on other shows maybe, or are you gonna do direct sales where you have a product or a service that you need to sell and you're educating your audience on why they should do business with you? So that needs to be baked in from the beginning, or else you will not make any money podcasting. And I can't speak to sponsors, so don't ask me, because I don't know about that.
So, when you say profit first podcasting, is that mostly, do you mostly mean using your podcast as a marketing tool for your business? Like you said, if you had like a product or service, or do you mean like making money from your actual podcast, not like using your podcast as a marketing tool?
Look, marketing is your job. Like if you're a business owner, you have two jobs, like marketing and making sales. Getting attention and making sales. They're not exclusive. One or the other. You have to do both. You have to market to get that attention. You got to leverage that attention to get sales, or else you're out of business, you're starving, and you're dead. Go work at Starbucks. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive. It's not one or the other. You need both. You need them planned in there, baked into everything that you do. And that's why I talk about profit first. How are you going to do that? That's the profit. How do you profit? Is it the connections you make? Is it being invited to stages? Is it making direct sales? You got to know that going in, and then you plan everything around that.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And of course, a podcast is a fantastic tool for all of that, right? I mean, I would say podcasting is one of the best tools as opposed to even like a blog or some other kind of content creation.
It's just that fact, that Edison Research fact, where the podcast listener is someone who is more engaged and who's going to listen longer. And so you think about that, and you think about the time it usually takes to build trust and credibility in your market. And you think how long that used to take years or decades. And we have this unique opportunity today to be plugged into somebody's ear while they're working out or while they're driving to work or riding the subway, riding their bike. You're spending 20 minutes in their ear talking to them. Like if you're spending that kind of time, 20 minutes at the gym, 20 minutes in the car, isn't that something you do with friends? Isn't that something that builds trust and loyalty? So we have that power today, and most people don't know how to leverage it, and that's why they fail. But if you know how to use it, it's the best medium, bar none. Better than video, better than text, better than anything because of that time that you spend and the trust that it builds. I call it like trust acceleration, right? Your trust is going faster because you're in their ear. Speed influence, that's what I was looking for. Speed influence, because you're in their ear for 20 minutes. Speed influence, already you're influential to that person in just one show. So imagine when you stack it up going to different places and through different episodes, speed influence.
Yeah, that is amazing. I mean, that's really true. I've noticed that. I'm listening to a podcast and the podcast shows, I feel like I know them. You know, I feel like they're talking to me, you know, they're giving me all this information. So I've never met them before. You know, I don't actually know them. But that level of trust, you can't get from just reading text or...
Think about that feeling that you have and then you showing up on a sales call with your admiration for those people. How easy is it going to be for you to decide to work with them? If they have an offer that you like and that you need, it's like not even... You don't even think about it because you already like them. Yeah, here's my credit card. I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's go.
Yeah, because I mean, even though you've never talked to that person before, there's a relationship there. You know, you don't have to keep cold calling all of these people. You know, if you reach out or if you have a link or something at the end of your show, then they'll reach out to you and it'll be as if you've already had a relationship. It'll be like you already know them and they already know you. And so it's just as simple as, hey, I'm interested. Okay, cool. You know, like you said, here's my credit card. So that's amazing.
I want to point something out that you said that's a big mistake, and maybe I can help some of our listeners.
Yes, definitely.
If you have a link, or if they want to do business with you, if is not going to get you business. And so that's one of the things with Profit First Podcasting. Our method is like you have a pre-planned route for them before you do anything. Like you already know what you want them to do and you have a plan of it's going to be this commercial on the show, this link to this website page, to this opt-in form, to this phone call. Like that is already planned out. So it's not if, it's when they're ready to make that move, you make it easy for them to get on the phone with you.
That is a really good distinction. Thank you for that. I mean, like we said before, we're all learning. That's a really good system. I mean, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not if, it's when. And you lay out that path for them through the podcast and then to sail with you. I mean, that's amazing. You know, it works. Because I know that's everyone's biggest fears or biggest, they think is the biggest drawback to podcasting is that doesn't happen. You know, people think that there's no, you know, way for money and sales and marketing to be a part of podcasting, but no, I mean, that's simply not true. Podcasting is amazing.
Yeah, I think too many people are brainwashed with the sponsor thing. I'm going to grow a big audience and people are going to make it rain hundies. No, you don't even need, like if you plan it correctly and you have something to offer and something to sell, you're going to make way more money by selling your own product or service on your show. And that's where it's really at. I got one guy, a client that he does podcast interviews and he says he has people on the show who would make good clients for him. And basically his show interview is like the pre-call, like you would have before, like a discovery call. And so it's like, what's your problem? What are you facing? This, that, the other. So he's analyzing them on the show, doing an interview, building trust and credibility. And then on the back end, selling his services. I mean, that's the kind of thing you got to be looking at before you get into this is how do I profit?
No, that's a good idea. I mean, using the podcast itself as a call with a potential client is a great idea because A, you could get the sale from that person, and B, that's content that you could be repurposing for other things. And, you know, it can be, you know, you publish it as a podcast episode and then everyone hears how great he was and the success story, because that's another thing too, is the more success stories you hear from people and their podcasts with their businesses, the more likely you are to consider getting a podcast of your own, because that's something else. I don't think a lot of people think that podcasting, or they haven't heard many success stories when it comes to podcasting. You know, they think it's just like true crime series or something. Some people don't think of podcasting as a business tool, you know, like they don't hear those success stories. So
yeah, they don't know. They're not in the right place yet, but you're going to help them with that, aren't you?
I'm going to try. So let's transition to the podcast process itself. Do you do your own editing and production, or do you have a team, or what are your thoughts on that? What is your process?
So when I was first on this journey, because you know it's been a while, I did that weird radio thing, and it sounded like a phone, like old time phone, and a staticky. I don't know, it was terrible, and I was embarrassed. But like I said, hey, I did it. I learned, and I got better. And so when I got together with my buddy Darren to do the Making Agents Rich show several years later, I said we got to have good sound, and so we. We got boom arms. We didn't have those before, and these little shock cradles. But in addition to the equipment, we also went ahead and got an audio engineer. And that was the biggest improvement we could ever made, because people don't know this, but a lot of times when you're doing all this podcast work, this is the easy part. This is the fun part. This is the part that everybody thinks they can do. But then there's a behind the scenes part of editing and uploading and adding bumpers and doing all this stuff that I don't even know what it means or how it works. So that's why I have a team of engineers. And so we're the podcast factory. So it's not just one engineer. We have three or four audio engineers, a video engineer. We have several writers, a reporter. So there's a whole team over here at the podcast factory, even though it may not look like it.
Yeah, no, that's true. They're kind of like the unsung heroes of the story, because this, I mean, you're right. This is the easy part. This is the fun part. Everyone has conversations every day, because all this is a conversation. We just have a specific topic we're talking about. It doesn't end there. You know, I mean, when you finish the recording, there's a lot more to it. I mean, there's a lot more. How much time would you say that you save not doing any of that? Like you record the episode.
I already know. Look, when I used to do that, when I first was recording with Darren, we had a show before Making Agents Rich, and we would talk for 30 minutes. It'd be fun. And I'd be like all happy and inspired. Yeah, we record an episode. And then all the other behind the scenes work was another 2.5-3 hours with the show notes, the emails, the uploading, the downloading, all this stuff that is not, it's not in my, like, that's not the best use of my time. And so gaining all that time back, it's a miracle. But it used to be at least 2.5-3 hours for one 30-minute show. And I'm so glad to have all of that back.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of time. And, you know, some people upload once a week. Some people will upload more than once a week. And so that's a good, that really adds up quickly, all that time. You know, and you can take that time, use it to create more content, schedule more interviews. Just have some free time if you want to. I mean, there's a lot that you can, there's a lot more that you can do when you have a team or an editor that helps, with your podcast, because that's something that I do, is I like to help people. I like to help with that, back end of, podcasting. Right. So would you say that having that team has increased your enjoyment of having a podcast? Like, do you like it more now that you don't have to do any of that?
No, I hate it. I hate it. I just keep on doing it. No, actually, yeah. I mean, there's still, like, I get to do the planning, and I like to do the planning, so that's fun. Yeah. And then I get to explore more. Like, for instance, I started a project this year, Daddy's Working, which is my first solo podcast. Yeah, it's my first solo podcast in many, many years, because I've co-hosted 8 or 10 shows.
Oh, wow.
In the last 10 years. But what's fun about that is, since I don't have to do all that back end work, I was able to do different things. Like I wanted to start adding music into it and different sections. And I just write notes on my paper and hand it over to the audio engineer and he sends it back. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. No, I don't like that. Yeah, I like that. And it comes together. And so not only has it made it more fun, but it's also now helping me be more creative in what I do. And so it's a great outlet for me and I enjoy it as much as I ever have.
Yeah, no, it really is a creative outlet. I mean, I know some people will do their podcast not only as a marketing tool for their business, but because they like it. I mean, I had one client who they did 5 short episodes a week and they just recorded it on their phone in the car after dropping their kids off at school. And they talked about all sorts of things related to life and business and whatnot. It was good. It was fun. It was something that she enjoyed doing. And it was a part of her daily routine, you know, that made it better, that made it more enjoyable. And of course, without having to worry about all of that back end stuff, you can really enjoy it. You know, you can enjoy interviews or solo shows, especially if, you know, you can just hand it off to someone and then they can put some music or just make it sound good and make sure it gets where it needs to go, you know, so you don't have to worry about it, which is amazing. So what are the benefits too of being on other people's shows? Because I know that a lot of people they'll get a podcast and they don't know how to make people listen to the podcast. And I know one tool is being on other people's shows. What are the benefits do you think of being on someone else's show in addition to your own?
Well, you get to sit around and talk like we're doing. That's good. And feel special. No, but yeah, it's good. It's good. For many different reasons. It's just another one of those things where I go back in my mind and I think profit first. How do you profit? And so it's possibly by connecting with that other host. It's possibly by connecting with that other host's audience. And mm-hmm. The same way when they come over to your show, connecting with them or connecting with their audience. And so tightening up your network, creating more opportunities, getting in front of new audiences. There's a lot of ways that you can benefit just from not having a podcast and being on other people's.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, you don't even need your own podcast, like you said, to be on someone else's show.
I wrote I think it's in my Podcast Mogul Volume 1 book, Get All the Beautiful Benefits of Podcasting Without the Filthy Behind the Scenes Grunt Work. Yeah. Booking interviews.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. What other tips do you have for getting more listeners? Because I know one big thing is getting on other people's shows. How else would you say people could get to increase their listenership?
Wow,
there's a lot, I know.
There's tons of different ways. I actually, with my clients, I try to dissuade them from thinking about getting more listeners and instead focus on getting the listeners that matter. And so most of these people already have an audience. They have an email list or they have a social media following. But I ask them, has everybody on your list bought from you? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, well, forget about more downloads. Forget about more listeners. Let's get these people that haven't bought from you yet or haven't bought enough from you yet to listen to your show and let's start making money that way. And so, because I always think, do you really care about more listeners or do you care about more sales? The people I work with are more sales. And so my mind's always focused on that.
That's true. I mean, that's interesting. There have been multiple questions now, multiple topics where the answer is really, like you said, the sales first, that profit first. Think about sales. When you think about these questions, like, oh, do I need more interviews? Bring it back to, well, what about this question? What about the answer to, do I need more interviews? Can help me get more sales, you know? And so that's a good idea. Getting more listeners, well, that means that you already have at least some listeners. Those people, and if they haven't bought from you yet, well, there are some listeners right there. So that's a good idea to step back and focus on them before you really go after trying to get more and more people.
Yeah, that's what I always tell my clients and see, so we have a process and they usually come in with that idea of getting the bigger audience. And I tell them that's like three steps down, four steps down the process, the audience amplifier, because once you're making more sales, once you're getting better conversions, once your list, your following, the people who love you are buying and buying more, then you have more money to buy ads. Then you can get more listeners, can you? By running ads. I mean, that's a simple way to do all of this, but you also have the word of mouth of all the people that have bought from you. So my process starts with the low-hanging fruit first and then works its way out to listeners way later.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, get those listeners and then they will help you to get more listeners and more buyers, because one of the best ways to sell and to get more people to know about you and your products or services is by word of mouth and referrals. I mean, most if not all of my business has come from referrals, because then that gives that it also helps to establish that relationship. People know that you're legit. They know that they can trust you because their best friend bought from you, so they can too, you know. Yeah. And I know a podcast can definitely help with that as well. Because you have guests on, and like you were talking all about that grunt work and how much it's helped to have other people help with that, and then other people on their podcasts will have guests that have their own success stories related to podcasting. I mean, you're a success story when it comes to podcasting. I mean, you've been podcasting since 2008. You said you co-hosted what, over 10 shows?
Yeah, I think so. Too many.
Yeah. So you know what you're talking about, and you've done it. You know, you're the answer to, is starting a podcast worth it? You know?
Depends. Well, on who you are in your business.
That's true.
You're talking for entertainment purposes and don't have a real vision or a goal, you might be in trouble.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, like you said, you need to step back and think of that profit first before you start your podcast. I mean, you can't just think of a fun name, think of a topic, get an image, and then go for it. You have to have a plan of how you're going to make this a moneymaker. You know, how is this going to be a part of your business? Yeah.
That's it. Right back to the beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. As we kind of near the end of our show, what tip would you have for listeners that aren't really sure? Like, is there one tip that you have for any of, I know we've kind of talked about this, but are there any tips you'd have for listeners that are still, you know, at this point in the show, unsure about whether or not they want to turn on the mic and get things moving with their podcast?
Yeah. If you're unsure about it, don't do it. Don't bother. Like, you got to be sure and committed, because it takes a while. Even with having an audience and having an offer and having something ready to sell, still takes a while to invest the time into doing it, to invest the time into planning your content, creating your content, whether you're spending time or money, there's a big investment. And if you're unsure, then don't do it. That's my advice.
Yeah. That is fantastic advice. If anyone wants to hear more about you, where can they reach you? How can they connect with you to hear more about your services and what you're talking about, and, you know, profit first, all that kind of stuff?
Don't worry about all that. I'll tell you what. The best place to hear more from me is daddysworking.com. Daddy's Working, like DADDYS, working.com. That is my podcast project. That's where you can hear me talking smack and being silly. And on that page, you can probably find out more about my services one way or another.
They'll definitely go check that out.
Thank you. I'm glad this was hopefully helpful to one or two people.
I think it'll be helpful to a lot more than just one or two people. At least I hope so. So
if you're marketing correctly.
I hope I am. So thank you very much for being on the show. I mean, that was fantastic.
Man, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation, or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.